Been a little bit of it on my front porch with my coffee. I enjoyed the devotions, Mike. When you said you went to Google to find a fresh take on a verse that you were trying to understand, my mind did go to the message this morning. I used Google for research as well. But what would have happened if Mike would have been not sure what to share on? He would have went to Google and said, "What should I have for devotions this morning?" Title of the message this morning is "The Christian and AI." Now, AI is in the Bible, but not in the context of what we're talking about this morning. I want to take you to Ecclesiastes 1 to get started. Obviously, we're talking about artificial intelligence this morning, if you're not familiar with the phrase AI. Solomon has some interesting words that he's sharing here in Ecclesiastes 1. I want to start in at verse 4. "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, See, this is new? It hath been already of old time which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after." Stop reading there. When I was thinking of AI, I thought of what Solomon said here. There is no new thing under the sun. And I wonder if Solomon would write that if he was living in our day. Because in a sense, it's definitely not correct. Especially the subject this morning, artificial intelligence. The very beginnings of it might have been as far back as 1950, but as we know it today, some of the most common artificial intelligence platforms are only a few years old. It's very, very recent, and yet it's catching on very fast. But I also know what Solomon's saying. He goes down a long list of things that just simply don't change. God created this world. It keeps going on and on and on, just as God wanted it to. The water goes down the river and goes into the sea and into the ocean, and somehow the water returns back to the beginning of the river, and it keeps the cycle going. Summer and winter, sun comes up, the sun goes down. There's something about, yes, creation, of course, but also the humanity of man. And the way that we use tools that mankind develops just simply doesn't change. We still have the human nature, and we still have a God that we can choose to follow for direction. How should a Christian relate to the next new thing, artificial intelligence? AI has society probably more scared, possibly, than they have ever been. And they look at the possibilities of what could happen if it would get out of control and take over the world, so to speak. And yet society is more enthralled than ever. And they're using it in more ways than most of us could ever imagine. So I want to just talk a little bit about what is AI. And I'm going to read to you a Google AI definition. I purposed in my heart to never use AI to write a sermon. But this sermon this morning has more of AI in it than probably any sermon I've ever done and will ever do. I don't know the future, but the Google AI definition. Artificial intelligence, AI, refers to the ability of computer systems to perform tasks that typically require human intelligence. If you think about that, that's the intelligence that God created us with, such as learning, problem solving, and decision making. It involves creating machines or software that can analyze data, identify patterns, and make predictions or take actions based on that analysis. AI systems can range from simple rule-based programs to complex machine learning models that adapt and improve over time. So these are machines that have been developed that within themselves they can progress, become better at what they do without men causing that to happen. And traditionally in history past, you make a machine and that's what it does until you change it to do something more. But these machines are possibly at a place where they can change on their own to do something more. Now, as you know, I work in the accounting field, and we have what we call Excel that has been around for a long time. It's a program where you can set up a formula. You enter a few numbers, and it goes through all the math and comes up with your answer. And it saves a lot of time and a lot of work. And probably makes me more stupid than I would be without it. That's the very, very, very primitive AI. But AI has gone so far beyond that today. Go to a payroll conference and AI is the buzzword there. And when I say buzzwords, there's a lot of buzzwords because everybody acts like they're all excited about it, but nobody can really say what they're doing with it. And I'm like, let's talk my language. But somebody did say that they're able to use it, and they're able to talk to it like a person, and it gives incorrect information. They say, no, that's wrong. This is right. And they're able to educate AI, and more on that later. AI analyzes data. You have supercomputers that are sifting through all the data that's out there in the internet, in the world. It sifts through all that data and makes it available to you. In an easy-to-read format. It performs tasks. It writes articles. Creates fake photos and videos. I was playing around with it some. I don't know if y'all remember the picture that went around of President Trump looking like the Pope. Obviously, that was an AI video, AI photo. So my imagination got a hold of me, and I made Trump into an Amish man, then into a Mennonite man. Old order it came up with. And then, of course, I had to try it on myself as well, with the Amish at least, and a homeless. And some of that seems like innocent fun, just playing around with it, you know, what AI thinks you would look like if that's who you were. It's a little bit of imagination. I don't know there's any harm necessarily in that. It's something new. But when it comes to performing tasks such as writing articles and, we'll get into more of that as well. We're just looking at what is AI. AI replaces humans in the workforce. I've seen these AI robots that can pick up something and place it on the belt and they're very slow. At least the ones I've seen on video, they're very slow. But they work 24/7. They don't take lunch breaks. They don't get sick. They don't complain to the boss. They don't fight their coworker. Not yet. The technology is improving fast to where AI machines can determine the task and make decisions on their own. Currently, most AI models, they have to design them to do the tasks that they want them to do, but If the Lord wills, the technology is definitely going to be where the machines can decide their own tasks and make decisions on their own. The military is investing heavily into it. You don't need a person out there in the jet. You don't even need a person on the screen anymore, possibly. They can just design it to do what they want to do, and hopefully it'll go do that. AI does steal data and doesn't give proper credit to the source. This is my take on it. It scarfs up a lot of data. And if you write an article, you put your name on it. You might even copyright it. I've never done that, but some people do. Their books, their websites, a lot of that stuff is copyrighted. AI scarfs it all up and doesn't really give credit to who it's. Somebody paid, somebody made a website, somebody wrote a book, and somebody invested and paid to publish that information to you. And when you go to read their information, you go to their site and their business, and AI is replacing that. They do have links that you can go to research what they tell you. Mostly they have links. But they definitely, there's definitely a side to AI. Thought I would mention it. Most AI models do offer their basic services for free. And I Googled who pays for AI. And then I went deeper into AI for an answer to talk about itself. And I discovered that it's funded by billions of dollars by corporations, investors, and government. But at some point, I expect this is going to have to change. AI is not free. OpenAI, which is a parent of ChatGPT, aims to spend $500 billion to build up to 10 data centers. Each of these centers could require 5 gigawatts of electricity, more than what the entire state of New Hampshire uses. One data center times 10. Apple plans to spend $500 billion on AI. Google plans to spend $75 million on AI infrastructure in this year alone. So we can see the world around us is investing very, very heavily into this technology. And I don't know where it's all going to go yet. None of us do. I don't think we should live in fear. At the same time, we need to look to God for answers. AI is a greater accumulation and use of knowledge. And that's what we've been heading this direction for a long time with Google and everything else, the internet. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Google has brought knowledge like never before. And AI is making that knowledge more available to us than ever before. But what's happening, and it's already observable, is that the more knowledge we have as a country, as a society, it seems like the less wisdom we have. I want to talk a little bit about the dangers of AI. The first one is simple, incorrect information. I did a search once on AI because I needed a specific answer to a specific tax question. And the answer it gave to me, I determined, was not correct because it was confusing federal and state payroll laws on the particular subject that I was researching. But it did give me some links that I was able to go further and find better answers. So you very well might get incorrect information. And if it's only that, you might make business mistakes, but it's not a spiritual problem, right? It could be. We need to be very careful we don't blindly trust AI for answers. Go to the source if the truth of the answer is important. For Bible study, if you use AI for Bible study, it's going to tell you what it's been told. AI simply scarfs up all the data that's available out there. And if it's been fed untruth, it's going to feed you untruth. And if you get to the place where you simply believe it and take it for what it is, you're going to be led astray. Another danger of AI would be using AI to generate sermons and devotionals. And out of curiosity, I asked ChatGPT what I should preach on. I want to read to you a little bit what it gave me. That's a great question and a personal one. To offer a meaningful suggestion, here are a few questions that can help shape the direction. Who is your audience? What's going on in your church or community right now? Are you preaching for a specific occasion? Do you sense a spiritual burden or theme God's been impressing on you personally? Then it gave me a list of ideas of things I could preach on. So I typed back into it. I said, I'm concerned about the advance of technology and its effects on the Christian. And here's the reply. That's a timely and deeply relevant concern, and preaching on it can stir reflection, discernment, and renewed commitment in your listeners. Technology isn't neutral. How we engage with it profoundly shapes our faith, focus, relationships, and even our view of God. Suggested sermon title, Living Holy in a Digital Babylon. And then it gave me the text options, Romans 12, 1-2, Daniel 1, Ephesians 5, 15-17. The core message, technology is a powerful tool that can either draw us closer to God or distract, deform, and desensitize us spiritually. As Christians, we are called to live thoughtfully and set apart in a world increasingly dominated by screens, speed, and superficiality. It's all true. Then this is a sermon outline it gave me. We are being shaped, whether we realize it or not. And one of the points under that was scroll culture. You know, when you just scroll, scroll, scroll. Scroll culture via scripture meditation, 3 hours on your phone via 10 minutes in the Word. Discernment in the age of distraction. Are your digital habits helping or hindering holiness? Digital Babylon, living faithfully like Daniel. We must resolve not to be owned by our devices. Practical ways to resist tech's spiritual drift. Establish tech boundaries. Cultivate deep relationships. Feed your soul intentionally. Apps aren't evil, but algorithms are poor shepherds. And then it went on to ask me, would you like a printable version of this or help developing it into a full sermon manuscript or slides? And that's where I stopped. So I asked you, what would happen if I used AI to write my sermon notes? What would happen if you had a topic or a devotional and used AI to write it for you? Well, first of all, you would ask them what to have it on, and then you would get them to write it for you. What would happen? Well, I'll tell you, it would cut my study time way down. It would also replace the Holy Spirit in my life. As Mike was pondering what to share in the devotional this morning, he was communicating with the Holy Spirit. He was communicating with people around him, and those circumstances were influencing what he shared with us this morning. That would not happen with AI. You would lose the Holy Spirit influence on what is shared. There would be no thing, Lord, what do you want me to share? Instead, it would be, Google, what do you want me to share? It would remove any personal burden from the sermon. If it was just information data scarfed up from websites around the world, there would be no burden within me to share what I'm sharing. I would also gradually lose my ability to formulate sermons without it. Because we train our brains. When we start using those tools to replace our brains, I'll get into more of that later. Another danger of AI is using it as a life advisor. I'm going to take you to Colossians 2. As I was thinking of using AI as a life advisor, my mind went to the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. What if he was reading from Isaiah and didn't understand what he was reading? And so he got out his smartphone and asked it. And AI gave him a big, long report of what Isaiah meant. Now, AI might not have known everything that just happened in Jerusalem. But I think the more important thing is, he would not have met Philip. He would not have had a personal touch, the personal relationship. Philip would not have been able to lead him to Christ as he explained the scripture for him. And I ask, where do we get life advice from? Let's read Colossians 2, 6 to 8. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We need to be very careful where we get our life guidance from. We need to be rooted and built up in God and established in the faith. We get life advice from people. It might be parents, grandparents, church brothers, friends. I think we've lost some of this already. When I have a question about how to fix my lawnmower, sometimes I go to a person, sometimes I go to YouTube. And I think we've lost a sense where we go to dad or grandpa to know how to do things. Technology, in a way, has changed so fast that dad and grandpa don't have a clue how to do some of the things that we want to do. So there's also that side of it. But we've definitely lost some of that connection already, and it's only going to become more so if we become dependent on technology even more so. So we get life advice from people, get life advice from the Bible as we read the Bible. We get life advice through prayer in the direction of the Holy Spirit. We get life advice from Google. ChatGPT owner Sam Altman was having a, they were asking him some questions, and he had this to say. Older people use ChatGPT as a Google replacement. They use it for research as a tool. People in their 20s and 30s use it as a life advisor. People in college use it as an operating system. And he also said they don't really make life decisions without asking ChatGPT what they should do. Can you imagine getting to the place where you can't even make a life decision without asking your computer what next step you should take? Do you realize with me what that would do to our relationship, not only with others, but especially to the Holy Spirit and the guidance that comes from the Holy Spirit and the guidance that comes from reading the Word? It would totally replace that. And I think that's my biggest concern this morning. I think it'll replace our dependency on others even more than what Google and YouTube and such like have done. Even if you don't go to dad or grandpa, if you go to an expert on a question, you still have a personal interaction with somebody. You still have real relationships. One MIT study found that the more time users spend talking, literally talking, to ChatGPT, the lonelier they feel. The more time they spend using AI, the lonelier they feel. Why? Because they don't have human interaction. They lose their relationships. And we already have too much loneliness in this world. Social media has already done that. We need to be very careful with it. Another danger of AI is it replaces brain activity. I already alluded to this a little bit. And I quote, using EEG brain scans, MIT researchers tracked 54 students over 4 months and found that those who consistently used ChatGPT for writing tasks showed significantly reduced brain activity, memory retention, and critical thinking compared to peers using Google or no tools at all. Dubbed the cognitive cost of using LLMs, large language models, the study revealed that AI users not only produce less original work, but also struggle to recall their own writing shortly after completing it. So they were writing things with the help of AI, but couldn't even remember what they wrote shortly after writing it, because it was not their work. While ChatGPT offered speed and ease, this came at a cost, what researchers call mental passive, passivity. The study also warned of AI-induced echo chambers, where users accept algorithm-generated responses without questioning their validity. Interestingly, even when AI users switch to unaided tasks, their cognitive engagement remained. I'm missing a word there. Actually, somebody sent me a picture with this text on, and on my computer, I can take a snip of a picture and use AI to take that text and copy it and put it right onto my notes. See, those are tools that we can use, but I am missing a word. Their cognitive engagement remained, and I know it's a context of limited. So even though they were doing a task where they were not using AI, their brain activity was still limited. In contrast, those who began without assistance later showed heightened brain activity when introduced to tools, suggesting that AI works best as a support, not a substitute for human thinking. And that's another concern I have this morning, that we do not allow ourselves to go to the place where we substitute human thinking for AI. We were talking about the dangers of AI. I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of AI. As with all new things, it always works this way. The young tend to embrace it, and the old tend to fear it. I could have read some of the fears when the first steam engines came out, and people were terrified by the fact that people could go such speeds God never meant a human to travel that fast. And we laugh at that today because it's so slow compared to what we travel today. So there's a sense where new technology scares us, perhaps in a way that it should not. But I also believe we need to have a cautious approach to new things. Let's say perhaps we live in a primitive world, and we have no clue which plants around here are edible or poisonous. There'd be no point in all of us eating a plant that we didn't know was safe to eat, and we all get poisoned because we find out too late it was poison. We need to be cautious. Many times it can be something that can be useful if it's kept within its boundaries. One benefit of AI, I believe, is research, if you're willing to use it as a tool of research. We have more information at our fingertips than ever before. AI scours countless articles and saves you the work of going to each one of those articles. Now, I told you the danger side of that. Now I'm telling you the benefit side of that. Similar to Googling a question that you might have. And if you're studying for a topic, a message, devotional, and you do have research questions, it could be a good tool. Speaking of tools, it's another benefit of AI. Someone in the graphic design business said that they use AI to remove image backgrounds and to tag images to make them easy to find. Someone in manufacturing said that they use AI. They were using computer-aided design, CAD, and one designer said AI can load the image of a part, figure out how much it weighs, cost to make, and add extra costs like painting and powder coating. So you can see it as a tool that can save time. Website designers use AI to write code. And we know that code writers tend to be in short supply. So it seems like simplifying website designs would be a good thing. Secretary work. Chatbots. Does anybody ever get frustrated with chatbots? When you need an answer, and instead of getting a human, you're talking to a computer. Obviously, the old versions were a lot more frustrating, and they're getting better and better, and at some point, there could be a time where you're not even sure who you're texting. They can handle customer inquiries, maybe even process orders. doctors. I have read a report recently that AI can diagnose sicknesses better than a regular doctor can. They've been proven to be more accurate more of the time than a regular doctor. Was the logic is there because we as people, if I were a doctor, definitely myself would have a limited memory of knowing all the possibilities out there of every disease and every symptom of every disease. But AI has that. It's a computer model that can access all the information that's out there and actually can be better at diagnosing diseases than even a doctor. Accounting. In our business, at some point, we might be able to use AI to file our tax returns, our payroll tax returns. This would save us a lot of time. And when I go to payroll training, my ears are open to what I hear the options are. I believe AI can be a tool that can be used in a good way. Lastly, and this one's debatable, is the witnessing opportunities of AI. I told you at the beginning about that fellow payroll specialist that was using ChatGPT, and when it gave her a wrong answer, she would correct the answer, and she was training AI. See, AI uses the information that's given to it, and you can train AI. AI is scarfing up information off of websites to produce answers for those people who are using it as a life advisor. So if you write an article in the pilgrimministry.org, your article could be used to help influence AI in a positive direction. You could literally sit there and ask AI spiritual questions and then correct it and train it in a better way. Now, I hesitate to say that because I'm afraid the dangers of that could be greater than the benefits. So I'll leave that where it is. But I will say that telling AI how to think is way, way better than allowing AI to tell you how to think. In conclusion, I am very concerned that we don't allow AI or technology in general to take the place of the Holy Spirit. AHIPPA is very clear in the message, throughout the message, that that is something we cannot allow to happen in our lives. If we go to technology for life guidance rather than to God, then we have allowed an idol into our life. Just as those people back there in the Old Testament would bow down to these images made of hands that could neither see nor talk. Now AI is getting to the place where it might be able to see and even talk. But it is still just a machine. It is not God. And we cannot allow it to take the place of God in our life. It was very interesting. Some people actually think that the beast that's given a mouth to speak is possibly an AI device of some kind. I have no idea. I'm also concerned that we don't allow AI or technology in general to take the place of real relationships with people that God has placed in our lives. I think that's, we can do that so easily with technology, taking a stand to try to limit the use of social media among us for that reason. And it's so easy to have relationships that are a farce. There's just on the surface. And AI is going to take that even farther. It's no longer going to be somebody you don't even know on the other end. It's going to be a machine on the other end. And it will take the lack of relationships, the place of relationships, even further than what we have today. We need to be very careful. We do not allow that. So I ask, am I using AI as a tool to further the kingdom of God? Or am I allowing AI to control me as it guides me through life, disconnected from God? 1 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We see here it is a call to put forth effort, to study, to read, and to get counsel from your brothers. And a workman has the idea of somebody that's dedicated and putting work into that study. I know that if I were ever to use AI to generate my sermon and I'd stand up here and preach it to you, I would go home ashamed. But if I study and if I'm a workman and I delve into the scripture and I listen to the Holy Spirit and I have a burden to share with you, I can go home and not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's pray.